Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Our life verse last week. Every week we try to give you a life verse to just memorize, encourage us to memorize scripture, hide it in our heart. But Psalm 69:9 says this: "Zeal for your house has consumed me." That's where we've launched off with this series called "Our House is Your House." It's the theme for 2019 for our church. And David said in Psalm 69:9, "Zeal for your house has consumed me." By the way, it's Claire Balthazar's birthday this morning. Should we say happy birthday, Claire? Woo! The scripture says... Who's? Ellen's birthday today too. Anybody else's birthday this week, right? Happy birthday, you two and anyone else. All right, so we've been, 69:9, "Zeal for your house has consumed me. Nothing amps me up, nothing gets me more excited, Jesus, than the opportunity to be in your presence, to the opportunity to become more and more like you." And that's David's heart. And so through this series, we're taking rooms from your home or from a house. Last week, we talked about the foyer. How many know some of us don't have very big foyers, but you still have an entranceway? Today, we're going to talk about the living room. Next week, we're going to talk about the kitchen, and then we'll end up the final week of February talking about the garage. But the living room is a room in a residence used for the common social activities of the occupants. So for many of us in our living room, we have a TV in there, and we gather, and we look at the TV, and we have good dialogue, or whatever, but we watch TV, and we enjoy that. We watch movies, we binge on Netflix or whatever you do, right? But we do that. We that's a room that we use to just kind of chill out and relax, or we play board games. How many of you are board game people? Like four of you. All right, you four get together and play some, or cards. Any of you like play some cards or dominoes or mean game of slapjack, right? Or spoons or something like that. Or a couple weeks ago when our boys were home for the family emergency that transpired, and our boys, it was so fun, man. All of a sudden the table moves across the living room and they look at each other and they just start going at it. And they start wrestling. WrestleMania in the house. Any of you like just wrestle? I mean, Ellen and Ron, just like, I can still beat you or whatever. The WrestleMania getting going, and our boys, I was sitting on the couch just going, please invite me. Don't invite me because I can't bend that way anymore, but just that, or maybe, the doorbell rings and you invite people in and let's sit down and let's talk, let's visit. You use that room for reading or listening to music. And how many know there's nothing better than pulling back in your easy chair, putting on a throw blanket, settling in with a good book, doing your devotions in the stillness of the morning hour before the day gets rolling or whatever, or watching a movie. I mean, how many of you are looking forward to this afternoon? Amen. You're just like, yes, Steve, say amen so I can get there. Right? But that's awesome. One of the reasons I know I like the living room is because it's a place where I can just be. I mean, think about it. There's no preparing for the meal that goes on in the living room. Right? I mean, I've never walked into someone's home and saw a KitchenAid sitting on the coffee table. There is no doing dishes in the living room. You, Lord. Right? You don't shave and fix your hair in the living room. Some of you look around and it's like, are you sure? Because some people but you just get to be, you just get to be still, you just get to kind of chill out and relax. in the living room. But unfortunately, just like any room, it can be a room where you're disengaged to everybody else in the room. True? I mean, the modern family is in the living room now, and they're not with each other. They're with their social media. They're with their phone. I love my phone. I've given my life to you, phone. Right? And that's where they're at. All of us are guilty of that. It happens in our home. Robin grounds me. You know, or all of us can be guilty of that. You can be physically present, but emotionally and mentally distracted and disengaged. And last Friday, we were home, had a Friday night at home, first one for a long time, it seemed like, and so we were just flipping through the thing on the wall or the thing on the TV stand, and we were just like, oh, Tim Allen's, his show, Last Man Standing was on, and we hadn't watched that show for a long time, and it's funny, I like that show, because it makes fun of positions a lot of times, and so it just makes me laugh. And so we were watching that show, and the basis of the show that day was Tim and his wife were going to go up in the mountains to the cabin to get away, and the kids were going to stay behind, and Tim offered this bet. So why don't you guys come with us? But here's the deal. You can't bring your phones. You have to stay off your phone because, you know, they're just in the living room, just like totally engaged with their phone. And he's like, $500 says you can't do it. And they're like, oh, yes, we can. And then they get there and then they're like, you know, going through withdrawal and having all those things. And then it ends up where they finally like put the phone, they like go into, you know, shock therapy with one another to counsel each other. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't turn it on. And they finally sit down and they begin to interact in the living room of that cabin. And real relationships happen. It was cool. But in our text today, we see a tension between being lived out, a tension between work or tasks and worship. Because even in the life of a church, even in your life of being a follower of Jesus, how many know you can be working for Christ and not communing with Christ? If you're not careful, I believe this, as I thought about this week, one of the challenges, and I would hear professors say it all the time when I was in Bible college, always make sure that your study time, the only time that you're, make sure you don't allow your study time for messages be your only Bible time. I was like, man, who in the world would let, Lord, help me not ever to do that. And by the grace of God, I've been able to, man, my time in the morning is my time in the morning with the Lord. Rarely, very, very rarely do I ever preach stuff for my devotions time because that's me and the Lord. But I've had friends talk to me about that struggle where they fell into that trap. And it's so pertinent for all of us that we can get busy doing ministry stuff. We can be doing good stuff and be disengaged or distracted from communion with Christ. I think the longer we walk out our faith, the more of a challenge that can become. Because you can become, you begin to rely on what you already know instead of sitting at the table with what's fresh in the presence of the Lord. So, but God is concerned about that. He's concerned about your soul. I love how the King James, as we set the table this morning for this message, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, I love how the King James puts it. It says this, "And the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." And it says, "Man became a living soul." Other translations say a living creature or a living being. But I love the King James in that it says this idea of a living soul. Dallas Willard, who has since gone on to be with the Lord, but he was a great author, great theologian, said this: "What is running your life at any given moment is your soul. Not external circumstances, not your thoughts, not your intentions, not even your feelings, but your soul. The soul is the aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. The soul is the life center of human beings. So, man, what's that mean, Steve? Simply this, if your soul is healthy, no external circumstances that would come before you in your life can destroy your life. If your soul, though, is unhealthy, no external circumstances can redeem your life. See, the soul in both the Old Testament and the New Testament in ancient writings is simply often, most often described as a synonym for the whole person. It's who you are. In other words, it's the glue, it's the Velcro, it's the adhesive that holds your life together. It's your soul. And the word psychologist comes from what? The Greek root of that word is psyche, right? And which actually means soul. So in our, excuse me, in our day and age, we replace the word soul with self. And they're different. John Ortberg said this, the more we focus on ourselves, the more we neglect our soul. Now, track with me. I'm going somewhere with this this morning. And we're coming to the living room, a living room encounter that Jesus has with some individuals. And it's a big deal. And Jesus says this in this encounter, this is where you want to be because it's better. Now, the American Journal, American Medical Association did a case study that indicates that in the 20th century, people who lived in each generation were 3 times more likely to experience depression than folks in generations before them. Now, think about that statement. Despite the rise of mental health profession, people are becoming increasingly vulnerable to depression. And the question that you and I have to ask is, well, why? Why would that be? Martin Seligman, who is a brilliant psychologist with, I don't know if he's a believer or not, but he doesn't have a religious axe to grind, has a theory that it's because we have replaced church and faith and community with a tiny little unit that cannot bear the weight of the meaning in that self. We are all about self. We revolve our lives around ourselves, don't we? If we're not careful. And the more obsessed we become with ourselves and what we're doing, the more we neglect our soul, the more we neglect the living room. And our language reflects this with statements like this. Now track with me. If you know the end of it, shout it out. If you're empty, you need to fulfill yourself. We hear terminology like that in our culture. If you're stressed, learn how to take care of yourself. If you are on a job interview, you have to believe in yourself. If you are in a tattoo parlor, you must learn to express yourself. If you are not getting your own way, you have to stand up for yourself. Now, I realize not all of those, I mean, in certain situations, that's not necessarily bad or wrong, but self is standalone, do it yourself, but the soul reminds us that we're not made for ourselves. I mean, just aren't you glad? I stopped and just thought about this a little bit this week. And aren't you glad that the soul is more important than self? I mean, just think about if some of the classic songs of the faith went like this. I'll just say it to you instead of sing it to you. But then sings myself, my Savior God to thee. Think about that. Or what if the song, Jesus, lover of myself, I mean, just makes you want to just raise your hands and surrender, doesn't it? But back to the tension. It's living between the distractions of life, the now, and the presence of God, Who's ever been distracted before? Right? How many have been distracted driving, right? My first accident was because I got distracted. I thought I was being a good Samaritan. I was taking my girlfriend home at the time, and we were driving down Swallow Road in Fort Collins and over by our high school, and I looked back at this old abandoned farmhouse, and there was some activity going on, some headlights and people walking around. I'm like, man, I wonder what's going on. I was rubbernecking, you know, what's going on over there? And I turned, and all of a sudden, the car in front of me, their lights were on, and I went, my Jeep. I had my temporary tag still on my Jeep. And I just ran right into the Domino's pizza guy. Back in that day, it was avoid the noid. I didn't avoid him, man. I hit the Domino's pizza guy, made him 30 minutes late, and it was just a bad day for everybody. Distractions. First time you saw your spouse, I bet you were a little bit distracted. The rest of the day was just shot. You were just like, I can't get her off my mind. So how do we make sure that our soul is doing its duty as the Velcro of our life? Luke chapter 10 is where I want us to go this morning in the next few moments that we have together. And I want to give you three things to keep your soul sticky, if you will. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Just because you're in the presence of God, how many know there's still a lot of things vying for your attention? Even this morning as you're here and you've come to this place, and you're like, man, I'm going to go to church because church is a good thing, and I'm going to worship the Lord. That's a good thing. Even while you've been in here this morning, distractions are vying for your attention. Aren't they? I mean, your thought of, oh man, I need to put this on my to-do list. I need to do this. I need to do that. And things are going through your mind. I mean, you sat down and you're like, oh, I've never sat this way. I've never been able to look across the sanctuary. Oh, I kind of like that outfit right over there. That's a nice outfit. I wonder how I'd look in that outfit. And you just kind of get distracted. You're like, man, I like that hairstyle. That's a pretty good hairstyle. I like that hairstyle. You know, Phil Shirley's not here this morning. I don't see you. But Marvin's here. I think I could look good in that hairstyle Marvin has right there, you know. And you just like get distracted. Everyone's like, who's Marvin? What's his hair look like? We get distracted. I mean, you're sitting in a place, you're sitting in church, or I've had it happen at funerals. If you go to a funeral, turn off your phone before you go into the service. Amen. I mean, I've been in service, funeral service, I've been in church service, and all of a sudden you hear this, da-na-na, da-na-na, ESPN, score alert, right? I mean, it's just like premarital counseling or a counseling session with somebody, and all of a sudden the husband, da-na-na, da-na-na, and I'm like, that's the problem, right? So how do you care for your soul? Let me just give you an acrostic. I want you to eat some pie. Best place to eat some pie is in the living room, if you ask me. First thing you do is make it a priority. Look at it, verse 38. So as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had her sister Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Can't you just hear her slamming cupboard doors and breathing and, you know, coming to Jesus and saying that? Tell her then to help me. What's the mantra of our day? Busy. How was your week this week? Oh, it was busy. And then sometimes we're like, oh, man, it was super, or it was like crazy busy this week. Psalm 69:9 says, zeal for your house has consumed me. I'm not going to let an excuse get in the way of your house. I'm not going to let an excuse get in the way of my opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord, whether that's on a Sunday morning or a prayer meeting or in my own devotional times. I want to be in your presence, zeal. So there's two ladies in this account in Luke 10, and there's two focuses. you're familiar with the story, you know what where we're going this morning. If you've never heard this, man, this is class. Scripture will speak to you. You will find yourself here somewhere in this story that Jesus is involved in. You'll identify with Mary. Maybe you'll identify with Martha. But Martha has, we learned this from Martha, a good priority misplaced can become a distraction. Trying to be a good hostess, right? I mean, she's caring for everybody that's coming into the place and the needs of the place. The house is full of company. There's probably at least 15 people there, the disciples, Jesus' disciples, plus Martha's sister and her brother Lazarus. And so the house is just kind of full. It's busy. It's active. And she's concerned about their needs. She sees the needs and she's like, man, I want to be a good host. And the question that comes to my mind as I look at this text is this. What do you think Jesus would have done if Martha would have sat down too? I mean, Mary's right there at the feet of Jesus. What would have happened if Martha would have just sat down too and just said, oh, man, this is good stuff. Instead of worrying about the drinks and worrying about the food. I wonder what Jesus would have done. It's interesting to think about Martha. Martha received Jesus into her home and then neglected him as she prepared an elaborate meal that, to our account, never says that he asked for or most likely even needed. Contrast between Mary and Martha is this. Mary of Bethany is seen three times in the gospel record. On each occasion, she is in the same place. Guess where she's at? At the feet of Jesus. In John chapter 11, she fell at his feet and shared her woe. In Luke chapter 10, our text for the day, she's at his feet listening. John chapter 12, verse 3, she's at her feet pouring, lavishing worship, pouring expensive fragrance over Jesus. It's interesting, in each of those cases, there's a fragrance in the room. There's a fragrance in those settings. In Luke 10, it's food, and John 11, it's death. And in John 12, it's perfume. See, we're always, there's a fragrance with us as we go about life. Mary had learned that the priority of being at the feet of Jesus is so, so important, because when you're with Jesus, listen to me, when you take time on your Sundays, when you take time throughout your week to be at the feet of Jesus, you know what you're doing? You're doing soul care. You're making sure the whole you is whole. Now, granted, that doesn't negate the work. But life flows from connection, doesn't it? And if you aren't connecting with God, who is the author of life, then I want to submit to us, then discontentment will become the song of your life. Let me say it again, because it's so true for every one of us. And I don't care how old you are, whether you're a student or whether you're like 80 years old, if you aren't connecting with God, then discontentment will become the song of your life. Things people pursue in life, like peace, man, we want world peace. That's a good thing. This brings peace into my life. But what I have found is that you don't pursue that thing, but you pursue the Prince of Peace, because he is the author of peace. I mean, he is peace. So pursue Jesus, and then you won't have a peace that will dissipate and just evaporate. But Martha wasn't focused on the right priority. What she was doing wasn't bad. I mean, serving Jesus, that's a good thing. Serving the guests, that's a good thing, right? But it wasn't the best thing for her in that moment. Think about what she was missing out on. Okay, just think about this for a second. All right, think about what Martha was missing out on. Who's in the room? Jesus is. I mean, the creator of the universe is sitting in her lazy boy. Right? The creator of the universe is like right there. And she's busy doing other stuff, missing out on that moment. I thought to myself, man, how often have I been guilty of doing the very same thing? I mean, she's distracted with a good thing, right? A misplaced priority can be a distraction. I see, you know, we fought that tension. And we still fight it in some ways with our kids. But now that they're like, you know, empty nesters and we're partying every night at our house because we don't have anything else to do. But you know, it's different now. But we remember the tension of, okay, what's going to be our priority? Are we going to let sports schedules dictate our home connection? Are we going to let school stuff dictate our kids' priorities? Are we going to, you know, and that challenge, there's challenge that, you know, of within parenting of holding and making sure you're connected to the right things. True? I mean, it's in our marriages as well. It's in our friendships. Put priority on his presence, just being with him. We talked about it, not to go back to Genesis 18 and recounting all of last week's message, but think about where Abraham was sitting on the front step under the shade tree in the heat of the day. My mind wonders, what was he doing there in that chair time? I'm betting that he's reflecting back on God's faithfulness in his life. Man, Abraham, this is what I'm calling you to, man. You're going to be a father of the nation, man. You're going to have descendants, the number of the sand of the seashore. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to provide for you. You're going to have like incredible herds and fields. And it's going to just trust me, walk with me. Now he's sitting there, and some of the things hadn't come to pass yet. So I'm wondering what he's dreaming. Is he dreaming ahead to God's promises? God, you said, I know you said, I know you're true, I've seen your faithfulness, and it's been several years since some of this stuff has come to pass, but I know that you spoke it to me, and so God, I'm going to just sit here, and I'm going to recount the goodness of God in the land of the living, and I'm going to recount the things that you've spoken to my heart, because you're faithful, you're true, and you're just, and in your time, you're going to bring it to pass because you're God. And all of a sudden, these three visitors show up, and we read the rest of the story in Genesis 18. Look at what Jesus' words to Martha were in verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. What's the one thing Jesus is talking about? You know what it is? Prioritizing his presence. I promise you this, you want to get amped up and worked up and stressed out on life, don't prioritize the presence of God in your life and let self try to manage and navigate all the struggles and all the challenges that you're facing. But if you want to bring it back and put it in perspective, get in the presence of Jesus and see life and see what is before you through his vision and through his plans. It'll change your perspective. But one thing is necessary, Jesus says. Let me ask you this morning, what is your one thing? What's your one thing? Jesus said, man, there's one thing that is a priority. It's my presence. Mary has chosen that, Martha. But if you look at your life and if you were, you know, if you could just write down and just be totally transparent with yourself right now, what is that one thing in your life right now? Maybe some of us would say, well, it's Jesus. I know that. But maybe some of us would say, well, it's my work. It's my kids. My kids are my one thing right now. I mean, it's just like all about my kids. My life is about my kids right now. And I'm not, there's no guilt in whatever your one thing is right now. But find out what that one thing is. Be honest with yourself about, really honestly, as I look at my schedule, as I look at my finances, as I look at what turns my heart, what excites me, what worries me, that's probably your one thing. What is that one thing? And if that one thing is gone, let me ask you this. If that one thing is gone, what happens to your peace? Because if your one thing is your kids, When your kids are gone, what happens to your peace? If your one thing is your money, and Murphy moves in, and all of a sudden everything in your home starts breaking down, and the cat runs away, and there's doctor bills that start popping up, and the fridge breaks down, and the car breaks down, and Murphy's just like, hey, aren't you glad I'm here? And your peace was your money. What happens when that one thing's gone? What do you hang on to? Psalms 27:4 says this, I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. I'll study at his feet. It says one thing. What else allows your soul to experience the pie? It's intentionality. Look at it, verse 42. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This morning, what are you intentional about? Some of us are like, I'm intentional about you're cleaning your house and your vehicles, and that's what I, like every week, it's just something Robin and I have done since, you know, day one of our marriage. I mean, she likes a clean house. I like a clean house. I'm grateful for that because I grew up in a house that was like, had a lot of stuff. Let's just leave it at that, all right? Around. We like that. And so every week, man, that's what we do. We clean our house. We're like, okay, what's my task? Your task is this, this, and this. What's your task? This, this, and this. And we divvy and we conquer, because how many of you know divide and conquer is the way to go? Some of you are like, just giving her the list is the way to go, man. Or giving him the list is the way. But we do that. That's just, you know, that. And there's a way that I'm like the floor guy. I sweep, mop, get on my hands and knees, dry the floor, vacuum. But I have a routine, and I have a flow to it. And you don't mess with my routine. You don't break that, or I'll break you. You know what I'm saying? Because there's intentionality in my mind of what I'm doing. I mean, you get ready in the morning. How many of you get ready in the same pattern? I mean, the same with this is just kind of what you do every morning. This is like, you know, I brush my teeth before I shave or whatever I do, but this kind of, I don't get out of order. When I load the dishwasher, okay, this is pet peeve stuff, all right? I'm being vulnerable with you. This section of the dishwasher is for this type of dish. This section is for a similar dish, but smaller. Glasses up on the top rack, right? Big glasses down. This section is big glass section. You don't put anything else in that section, right? And if people are trying to help, but they put things in the wrong section, they're not being intentional, right? And so then I go and I like do the dishes, because I don't like dishes in the sink. And so I'm like, bless God, I wish someone else would do the dishes and put them in the right spot, because no one else does the dishes. I'm the only one that does the dishes lie in the whole house. But they have their spot. And if someone does them and it's not like how I want it, guess what I do? I redo the dishes. Isn't that stupid? Can someone refer to me a good therapist? Because I'm just like, I'm sitting there going, what's wrong with me? How you shop, it's the same. You listen to me, this is, we laugh, but how can we be intentional with our tasks, but we aren't intentional with our relationship with God? Sometimes we have this attitude of God is going to do what he wants to do, and when he does that, then that'll just happen, and it is what it is. Or if God wants to speak, then God is going to have to do it this way, or I'm not listening. Versus what many of you just did back in January in doing a Daniel fast. Some of you showed up on that Sunday that we started that, and you didn't know it was on the radar, you're newer here or whatever, and you're just like, I don't, you know, never even thought about doing that, never. But now it's like Monday morning, and you're like, I'm in, I'm doing this, I don't know what to do. I'm hungry. But you get into this thing of fasting, pursuing the heart of God, and you're being intentional, and all of a sudden, the Lord's like, you're like sensitive, and you're aware, and you're like alert to the presence of God, and all of a sudden, you're just like, wow. He's speaking to me my word, and I've never prayed so much in my life, but I find myself praying all the time. And while I'm praying, it's just not this like, it's not like my mind goes flatline and I'm like some like, not there, but it's like, man, God is like, I sense the presence of God. Why? You know why? You're being intentional. What attracts God? Apathy or intentionality? You can find out in Jeremiah 29, 11. Mary chose the better. It is like Jesus saying, Martha, Martha, oh, Martha, Martha, you're always going to have dirty laundry and you're always going to have dirty dishes. Would you just come? Come and be. And for some of you here this morning, can I just tell you, you're always going to have dirty laundry and you're always going to have dirty dishes. You just need to come and be. And be free in that. Because the laundry and the dishes aren't going anywhere. I've never seen them walking down the street. Right? Check this out. King David was intentional. 160 times in the Psalms, David says this, makes this statement, I will. Psalms 23:6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 43:4, I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of my joy. I will praise you with my harp. I mean like power chord praise, right? Right? Oh my God. Psalms 35:18, I will thank you in front of the great assembly. I will. In spite of everything going on around me, in spite of what other people are saying, in spite of what's politically correct in our society or not politically correct in our society, I will thank you in front of the great assembly. Psalms 42:5, I will put my hope in God. This, I mean, he's like talking to himself. I will put my hope in God. I will praise him yet again. When I'm discouraged, can I just encourage you? When you feel discouraged, when you feel overwhelmed, when you're getting busy doing instead of being, you know what David's saying? I'm going to tell myself what I'm going to thank. I'm going to put my hope in God. God, I thank you that you've given me the strength to get through this day. Lord, as I step into this day, it's a crazy schedule today. God, give me the discernment, give me the wisdom on how long I should stay on a particular task, and let me not forget your presence through this day, that you're going to help me get through this day with the right mind, with the right strength, with the right heart, because, Lord, I'm being intentional. Walk with me. It's freedom. I'm going to put my hope in God. That's what I'm focusing on. God, I'm going to put my hope on you in reference to my family that still needs you, Jesus. Put my hope in you. Last thought, last piece of the pie, if you will, eternity. Worship team, if you would come. I thought it was fitting that we end with with worship before we eat barbecue. Can I get a witness? Eternity, verse 42, Mary has discovered it. Listen to what Jesus says, and it will not be taken away from her. Just simply, God responds to faith. God responds to engagement. Can I encourage us? At times, you need to speak faith into your situation. When you don't feel it within your heart, you just need to proclaim it with your mouth. And speak faith and speak hope and speak life and speak the words of Scripture. Speak it over your kids. Speak it over your marriage. Speak it over yourself. Look in the mirror and say, man. And whatever the truths of Scripture that you need to speak, I thank you, Lord. I'm feeling lonely right now, but I thank you that you're with me always. Help me to recognize your presence through this day. I love the passage of Scripture found in Acts chapter 4. Mary was living for something bigger than herself. She was living for eternity. She recognized that part of eternity was there in the house. So she's like, dishes can wait. Food can wait. Homework can wait. I remember when I was in Bible college. I mean, I'm going to Bible college, right? I'm studying and paying, we're paying our way. Robin was working full time. I was working part time and taking like 17 hours. And I would work a little bit more than part time when I could. But I can remember come home from work and I had go up to the library and do homework, and or I would, you know, find a place in the house to do homework. And I can always remember just saying to myself, you know, I'm going to stay up this late, because, you know, you hear people doing all-nighters. You know, how many of y'all did all-nighters when you went off to college? Can we just pray for those people right now? I always thought, there's no way I'm going to do that. Because I know after midnight, after 12:30, I'm not retaining anything at that point. It's just like gibberish to me. And so I'm just like, man, I'm going to go to bed. Because I know that first things first, I need to be able to get up and have my time with the Lord in the morning and begin my day there. And then the Lord's going to expand my abilities. And trust me, I don't have very many school abilities. It's like, dear Jesus, help me on this test right now. And he was gracious to me. But I was intentional in what I chose to focus on. There was times where I said, okay, this assignment, I gotta do my calendar right so I'm not cramming at the very end, so I don't neglect the main things. And God was good. I get to this passage. Because this passage, I believe, is what happens when we spend time in the living room at the feet of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw, speaking of the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They didn't recognize that they were in the kitchen making the meal and doing the dishes and doing the laundry and doing the task list. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. Why is that? Because they had been with Jesus. It doesn't say that they noticed that they were like Jesus or that they wore WWJD bracelets, but that they had been with Jesus. You being with Jesus can have an eternal impact on your life. But can I also submit to you, it will have an impact on other people's lives that are around you, because they'll catch the fragrance. Oh, how come they never get rattled when life happens to them? How come when their car breaks down and when their refrigerator quits running and they have sickness in their home, they don't like freak out like I freak out? Oh. Because they've been with Jesus and they know that Jesus got some. Would you stand with me? Never discount this truth. Just being in the presence of Jesus is a powerful thing. Never discount that. Never minimize that. We're going to do a couple songs here. I just want you to, if you will, in the imagery of the day, find a place at the love seat, the feet of Jesus, and just forget about who's around you. You know, if you're worried about if that person cares, if you worry, worship Jesus, just ask him, hey, do you mind if I worship Jesus? And if they say, yeah, come and get me. I'm just kidding, just kidding. But man, would you just like, I just want to breathe. And I'm going to use this space right now to breathe, because that's what Mary was doing, wasn't she? She was breathing and Martha was like, would you just breathe? at the feet of Jesus.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.